Learn the most empowering hiring techniques. Land the most desirable talent. Launch your company towards massive success. This is the Higher Power Radio Show with your host, Rick Gerard.
All right. Now, people like to join small organizations because they are challenging and fun. Now, there are very few rules and there's even less red tape. Now, as the company grows, it becomes necessary to formalize business processes. And with process comes rules. And before you know it, someone gets shot in the eye and the Nerf guns get taken away. Now, some might think that this is a good thing, but the high performers who help build the business most often do not. Take away the fun and they will just go somewhere else. I'm Rick Gerard and welcome to the Higher Power Radio Show. We help entrepreneurs and business leaders win-win the strongest people. We do so by sharing insights from top performing rebel entrepreneurs, business leaders, like our guest, Mr. Stephen Fradkin. Now, Stephen is the founder and CEO of Nativa. They're a full service technology firm that's offering managed IT services, including cybersecurity, strategic consulting, cloud solutions, and business process automation. So he actually founded this company back in 2004 and has built it to over 450 employees. And they serve about 1,400 clients. Stephen is an active member of a multitude of boards, including things like Young Presidents Organization. But what's most important about him is he's a big believer in purpose-driven organizations, which he leads Nativa with that in mind, which is what makes Stephen the perfect expert for today's topic. Stephen, welcome to the Higher Power Radio Show.
Thanks, Rick. It's a pleasure to be here. I didn't know I was a rebel, but that's a fun thing.
Well, you are today. Let's just go with it. Well, I mean, look at it. If you're bringing Nerf guns back, then, you know, you're a rebel. You're a rebel. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about a couple things today, but one of the things that I like to really focus in on is making sure that we're focusing in on culture and we're building a strong organization where people want to be. We go to a point a lot of times where as the organization grows, we end up kind of losing touch with those magical things that engaged high performers in the first place. Now, I don't know if you've seen this correlation, and I'm sure you've kind of maybe seen it in your business, but let's start with the Nerf gun story. I thought this was quite fun.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. And look, I've been at this for a long time now, and as you mentioned, we're a managed IT service provider, so we employ the top technical talent around to help a multitude of small businesses with all of their technology needs. So to get that rock star talent, and frankly, to understand that talent, we like to have a fun environment because it's tough, right? Like usually when people are calling us, they don't really want to talk to us, right? They have a problem that they want fixed and that can lead to high tensions. And, you know, at the end of the day, we want to create an environment that challenges our techs to solve the biggest problems, do that, which only they can do, and then have fun on the journey, right? Like have joy in the journey. So you know, over the years, our team of rockstar techs took on, you know, playing with Nerf guns. This is something that we've seen in our competitors as well. You know, you might take a call with a client, finish it up, blow off some steam by shooting some, you know, Nerf guns at each other. And frankly, these engineers also would, in true engineering form, you know, take out some springs and improve the aim, the accuracy, the trajectory, the speed, the impact of these Nerf guns too. And, you know, this went on for years and it was just fun in the background. And then one day, a manager in the organization, a young manager, goes to basically correct one of the technicians on an issue that they just had. They had accidentally turned off a remote computer, making it inaccessible and having to dispatch someone. So from about a foot from the tech, he fires, and as he does it, the tech turns his head and it shoots him right in the eye. Now, this was awful, right?
Modern day Christmas story.
Exactly. Exactly. So it was awful. I mean, he felt terrible. The tech, you know, was mildly injured. Fortunately, it wasn't that big of a deal. And, you know, at the end of the day, everybody smiled, laughed. We took care of a quick eye doctor appointment on behalf of the tech. Everything was fine. But immediately, our new, at the time, HR and legal team jumps in and says, we got to cut these Nerf guns, right? Like there is absolutely no scenario in which we can have these. The liability is too great. the next time we might not have a team member that just laughs it off and goes to the eye doctor and calls it a day. This could put us out of business. You got to end it all.
HR and legal, mom and dad, right? Like essentially.
Exactly.
I get it. That's not a fun place to be.
Sure isn't.
So what happened? So like, you know, they stepped in and they said, hey, look, we can't have this anymore. Started fighting that?
Yeah. You know, I started to really question, like, what are we doing here? Right. So I understand the need to limit liability, and I understand the investment we made in these team members to make sure we can grow and scale in an appropriate way as an organization. So, like, I obviously value what they're doing, and I know that we need rules and framework as we grow. But I pushed right back to them and I said, there's got to be a different way to do this. What's the outside of the box thinking where we can limit our liability and not suck the fun out of the environment that we have and frankly take away a tool that our techs use to blow off steam?
And that's really important. And that's what keeps people there. Those little things that keep people there. I think really look forward to those things. And when mom and dad take them away, you know, it's like, well, why am I doing it? Then they start to question their existence and why are they even there?
Right. And you know, it's kind of mind-boggling, right? Like something like that, these Nerf gun experiences, like I could go back to team members that existed in the time that this whole thing went down, and we'll talk about how we solved for it in a minute. But their memory that year, you could ask them, what did they get for their bonus? And they will have no idea. But they will remember every detail of the Nerf gun,
isn't it? That's fantastic. All right, you're listening to the Higher Power Radio Show. For our podcast listeners, we're going to take a quick educational moment from our sponsors. We're talking to Stephen Fradkin, who is the CEO of Intiva. We're discussing what happens with growth and how to preserve the elements that make a company so special, especially in the beginning of an organization. So let's dive into how you solve that problem. You run a core values-based company. You know, one of the things that I've learned from a lot of CEOs is that core values are often so important to keep intact. And as a CEO, you really have to kind of be the protector of those values. How did this link into your core values?
Got it. So just to take a step back, and I'm sorry if my camera's blurry. I keep trying to make that work, but it's leaving it this way. So I'm just going to embrace it for what it is.
You sure. Know,
I'd say Intiva is a purpose-driven company. So yeah. At the end of the day, you know, this is something that I started even before Intiva when I was a teenager and girls wouldn't pay attention to me in high school. I was a total geek. And over, you know, a 20-year period, this business just grew and grew and grew and grew because we did good work. We kept our clients and our team members stayed, and it was wonderful. And At the end of the day, it grew to a point where I couldn't keep my finger on the pulse of everything that was going on anymore. So I elevated managers into different roles to keep things going. And as soon as I did that, the trains ran on time, but I noticed a material energy just evaporate from the business. And the best way I could describe it is before we had these managers, people would run through walls either because they were following me or because I asked them to. And so I took some time and I just reflected on, do I want to grow? Do I want to shrink? And frankly, I was very serious. Like if we could go from 80 employees to 40 employees and just support law firms in a 3-block radius outside of Washington, D.C., like I could keep my finger on the pulse of everything and keep that energy. Yeah. But what I kept coming back to were a couple of recurring experiences. The first would be when I'd run into a client at like a local networking or philanthropic event. And I'd say, you know, hi, I'm Steve. I'm with Intiva. And they'd say, oh, we know Intiva. Ever since we started working with them, we've been able to focus on growing our business because the technology just worked. And I'd leave that just smiling ear to ear. What would happen even more often is every new employee that would start with us, between 3 and 6 months of them starting, I'd have lunch or coffee with them. And I'd hear the same thing about 90% of the time with their opener. And it would sound something like, in the last 90 to 180 days, I've learned and grown more than I have in my prior job and or formal education. And I would remember that energy, it would just fill me up and I could go another 2 weeks just from that conversation, 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so what I realized from that is that we existed to grow people and technology was just that accelerator. And as soon as I understood that purpose and I was able to go to the company and explain our why, right? Explain why we do what we do, not just what we do and how we do it. It was then that people started to be able to run through walls again. And that purpose, combined with our core values of care, ownership, responsiveness, and excellence, is ultimately what we use to motivate and drive people. And actually, as I say that, and if I'm going too off tangent, just let me know. But like it just ring it, the word drive brings me back to like a book from Dan Pink called Drive. His concept there was, you know, as long as the basic life needs of a team member are addressed, money's not the motivator. The motivator is going to be autonomy, mastery, and purpose. And I found that to be absolutely true. But to be fully transparent, I struggled for a very long time micromanaging and keeping my finger on the pulse of everything and really like making sure things were done just the way I would do it. And that wasn't something that was going to scale. And that was not something that was going to grow people at the rate that I really wanted to. So
that
I described to you. So going back to it, right? So existing to grow each other and then living those core values. That was the framework that was established for the team. And no matter what decisions they would then make on a day-to-day basis, even if they got it wrong, as long as they followed the purpose and core values, it was seen as an original mistake that we learn and grow from, and all is good. And that opened up autonomy. And then ultimately, you know, as and folks were able to fire on all cylinders from that point forward.
Now, how did you deal with the situation? Give me kind of a step-by-step on how you dealt with the situation of bringing back the Nerf guns.
Yeah. So first, they in theory never left, right? So before they were ripped out, it was, you know, obviously that was the advice of in-house counsel, our HR, which we call people, our people team. And then, of course, they, you know, to cover all bases, they checked with our outside corporate counsel as well. And it was absolutely unanimous that this all had to go away. And I pushed back and I said, like, come on, guys, come up with a better strategy. What makes it so this can work? And I didn't solve it for them. I didn't sit in the room and brainstorm. And I said, come back to me with how it can exist, the, you know, versus the fact that we have to kill it and have no fun, right? Like the idea of, yes, if you do this, right? So what does that look like? So ultimately, they hemmed and they hawed and they said, this is crazy. But they came back to me and they said, well, for starters, we would need protective eye gear. We would need to have notifications out in the office advising that this might happen. And then we would have all employees that wish to participate in this sign a release. I was like, okay, let's do it. So within days, we had inside of that office, we had, I'll never forget, it was like the Staples clear garbage bins filled with protective eye gear that Intiva provided to all employees. There were rules of engagement for the Nerf guns. The people that wanted to participate did sign a waiver. And the gist of it was, if you're wearing the protective eye gear, you're assumed to be on board and in. If you are not, you are assumed to be out. So you are welcome to shoot at inanimate objects. And if you're going to shoot at people, they have to have their protective eye gear on, and then they are assuming liability. And that worked out just fine. And by the way, there's been no incidents or harm caused to any human, technician, geek, or otherwise since.
Or animals, of course.
Yes, exactly.
What was the response from the employees?
The truthfully, like there was a lot of obviously chatter as it related to the first incident of the person getting shot in the eye, right? So that, that became...
Was his name Ralphie, by the way?
No. It became, you know, water cooler conversation.
Okay.
And then, you know, honestly, the solution to it became things I heard about from like spouses of people or significant others of people at company events years later. Like, I'll never forget it. Like, I'd be at like a holiday party and someone's spouse would come over to me and be like, oh, I heard about the Nerf guns and the waivers and the protective eye gear. Like, that's so hilarious, right? And those, that little story, like, we took, not only did we keep it intact, we like created a legend that got talked about in people's homes. And like, just think about it, like, as opposed to being that person going home be like, oh, my job sucked today. I got a call from a client. He yelled at me for 4 hours and just didn't even let me fix the computer, right? Like that wasn't the narrative, even though that happened that day. The narrative was, let me tell you this ridiculous story about what happened at work and how it was solved, right? And that really created a legend.
You know, it also creates retention in a way too, because people know that within your organization, they can still have fun. There's a point where work doesn't become fun anymore. I think when it gets to a corporate point, you know, you really have to be super corporate. The early adopters, I mean, the early people who bought in and helped build the company, they usually bow out. That's usually, as a headhunter, I used to love to see that sort of thing happen, because you knew you're going to get attrition, and I can reach out to all those people and just find the ones who weren't really happy about all these changes taking place.
Yep. Totally agree. And like, by no means are we perfect, right? Like, we've made a ton of original mistakes.
Sure.
The key though is we learn from them, we adapt, we grow. And at the end of the day, we want to be that talent house where the best people want to come, want to stay, want to grow, right? Like, that's what we're all about. So that's 100% accurate.
So how is this story, or like, how is this policy translated, you think, into your talent acquisition or your ability to attract talent to your organization?
Yeah, you know, I think part of, first of all, it's just a story that gets to be told, right? Like, a recruiter can share it when they're interviewing with people at the company. Like, things like this come up. And at the end of the day, like, we really want to be in an environment where people can have joy on the journey. Like, we are on this planet for a fixed period of time. Mm-hmm. Right. And we want to make an impact while we're here. Right. So that impact is our purpose of growing each other. If you fit that model, it's a great fit for you. And we want to have joy on the journey. We want to smile. We want to laugh. We want to be positive. Like, I'm speaking for myself here, and I want to surround myself with people like that. So again, the more of these things that have come up over the years, the more we're able to give real life examples to have. Right. Like, yes, we've grown. Yes, we've become more corporate. Yes, we have, you know, more policies and procedures than we ever have before. But at the end of the day, you know, we are willing to live in the gray area as long as that purpose and core values are followed.
You still have a fun environment to work in. So how has this translated, do you think, to employee referrals or
yeah,
usually the biggest indicator of whether or not people enjoy working at your company?
Yeah, no, thanks for that question. And look, I can't relate what I'm about to tell you specifically to Nerf guns, right? But to give you an example, last year alone, we had 114 referrals for people to come work at Entiva from existing employees. Now, not all of them were hired, right? In fact, you know, maybe only 25% or so. But the fact that folks are coming and sharing that is fantastic.
Sure.
And obviously, we talk about it. We want people to do that, and we even incentivize people to do that. But the actual action being taken is really meaningful for us.
Yeah, it's really meaningful too, because the truth is, typically, when you get an employee referral, that's the biggest proof point that you can possibly have as a company that you're doing something right. And usually, when it's a lower number, what ends up happening is, people are just referring their friends who are out of work looking for a job, and they're just kind of trying to find a place to land, as opposed to people really wanting to work for your organization.
That's right, man.
Good work, Steve.
Yeah, look, to be honest, like, we have an incredible team. So much of this stuff is just coming from them being in an environment that allows them to be creative and think differently. And, you know, I'd say, you know, very little at this stage has anything to do with me, right? Like, these are people doing their own thing in a meaningful way, guided by these principles that I shared.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with you, quite frankly, because it does come from the principles are usually the top down. If you're living your principles, and that's one of the biggest myths that I see out there, is that we create core values, we create things based on a kind of mythical company that we're trying to create, as opposed to what we actually live. And when you actually live it, it's a huge testimonial, because it does trickle down.
Yeah. And you know, Rick, I was fortunate enough, and, you know, if there's entrepreneurs that are, you know, growing their businesses right now, like, I would deeply encourage them to be intentional, right? Like, the reality is, like, it's my purpose. It's my values, right?
Yeah.
And once I was clear on what that was and I could be authentic about it, the reality is people either aligned or they didn't. And yeah. The ones that didn't left, the ones that did grew and blossomed. And as we recruit, we look for that particular personality. And I'm not saying we're right and others are wrong. It's just having that clarity is so important. And frankly, you know, whoever is leading has the opportunity to do that and make it what they can personally connect with. And when they do that, I believe passion really comes out, authenticity comes out, and people see that. And that adds to trust, which adds to people wanting to, you know, come into a business, stay there and grow.
Which ultimately leads to the business growing and higher profitability and everything else, which is good for everybody, right? It's good for the health of the business. Shoot, I love this. Steve, what would you say would be kind of two or three key takeaways you can give the audience that they can plug into their business today?
Yeah, so look, I touched on this already. So I'll repeat what you heard and then maybe I'll add an extra one. So sure. First I'd say just having aligned motivation around your purpose, right? Like I shared with Antiva for years, 20 years, everybody knew what we did and how we did it, but nobody knew why, right? Myself included. So really, again, know your why and be able to communicate it clearly, both to your internal and external customers, right? The other is you're going to win talent, right? So this is another concept. You will win talent by differentiating yourself from the competition. As our competition grew with private equity sponsors and more maturity and acquisitions and bringing in hired gun CEOs with policy and procedure and structure and all of this, it created an opportunity where, of course, we have that. But if we're still able to allow people to have joy on the journey and do things differently than these competitors and make the experience more fun, we have a leg up. And that leg up doesn't necessarily require us to pay more, right? It's an opportunity to differentiate just on being a fun place to be.
By the way, I've actually learned that most people will accept a job not necessarily based on pay, but on the value they get from the organization outside of the paycheck.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And so that's kind of the second pocket, right? So just you win talent by differentiating yourself from the competitors, right? And there's lots of ways you can do that. Just be different, look different. And then you know, finally, and I touched on this earlier, but you know, I recently read the Elon Musk documentary and learned about his algorithm, which ultimately starts with questioning every requirement, right? So when legal and HR came and said, you must get rid of this, it's a huge liability, I questioned that requirement, right? And what I—
Oh, the entrepreneur in you.
Yeah, and I would encourage everyone at every level, entrepreneur or not, to question every requirement. Don't do it rudely, but really understand, you know, did that requirement come from 1952 in a world that is very different than today? And if so, can we change it? And when you're questioning it, like, who did it come from? When? Like, get the person's name, go right at it, right? And you still may wind up in the same place, but chances are you can enact change, use that to differentiate and create memories.
That is so perfect. All right. I have nothing to add to that. Steven, thanks so much for your time investment today. And I want to welcome you to the Higher Power Radio community. Now, what would be the best way in which members of our audience could find you, find your company, all that good stuff?
Thanks, Rick. You can find Antiva at our website, which is www.antiva.com. That's N as in Nancy, T as in Tom, I as in Igloo, V as in Victor, A as in Alpha.com. You can also reach out to me directly via email at Steven, S-T-E-V-E-N, at Antiva.com, or call me at 703-738-2905.
Dude, I love you're putting your number out there. You're like the second person who's done that in the history of this show, which is fantastic. I do it all the time, too. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Higher Power Radio. Huge thanks to our team, Brian Colburn, Andrea Ballin, and Ayla Gerard. If you're listening to the show, please subscribe, review, and share. Send us an email. Reach out to us because we just kicked off the show again, and we want to make sure that we're continuing to provide value to you as a leader. You can join the Higher Power Radio community at Higher, H-I-R-E, Power, P-O-W-E-R, radio.com. Or you can drop me an email at rick@intertrue.ai. Tune in next Tuesday. Our guest is going to be Gary Frey. Gary is the founder and connector of BGW CPA. I'm your host, Peter Arden. You have been listening to the Higher Power Radio Show. Aloha.
Thank you for listening to Higher Power Radio. Catch our LinkedIn Live show every Tuesday at noon or download the podcast on iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, or your favorite podcast platform. We appreciate you joining us on Higher Power Radio with your guide to hiring success, Rick Giroir.